Hey everybody, it is the Context Machine. Welcome to it. This is episode 613, and I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Brian Chaffin. No, wait, I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, check us out on our website, contextmachine.io, because you can see show notes and contact us and see our awesome logo.
Yeah, and we may even be spiffing some of that stuff up.
Like with it. It's funny you should say that because I've actually been playing around with a few things, and the website may look like it has a fresh paint of coat pretty soon.
First of all, how about we move the recording of the show to the top of the show page? It's currently at the bottom. It seems weird to me.
Yeah, well, considering the time frame we had for making the site happen, you're welcome.
Yeah, that may have sounded like a complaint. It was not. You've done an amazing job on the site, and I appreciate you so very, very much. Regardless, I was actually originally talking about like using some of these new AI tools to do transcripts and chapter markers, and even us better show notes and things like that. We might get around to trying these things.
We just might. I'm cool with that. Yes.
You can also use the site that we're talking about here, contextmachine.io, to reach out to us. And you can find us on post.news and Mastodon at Context Machine. On one of those, you'll need to search.
Finding Post is kind of hard, but it's okay. Use Google.
Well played.
Hey, Brian, did you know that we're sponsored today by Factor?
Oh, awesome. I like Factor.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to tell you more about them in the show, including how you can get a discount on your order, which is very exciting. Nice. Let's see here. We have a couple. Let's do some house cleaning. Not really exactly the right phrase for it.
Wait, but don't we have people for that?
No, we don't. The interns have been gone.
That explains a lot.
Yes. So, Neil, the noted architect Pan.
Hi, Neil.
Yeah, he sent me a note, sent me a text message, iMessage even. He said, on the subject of GM and CarPlay, per your last episode, I disagree and think that GM has every right to control the software experience in their cars and monetize it if they can. It's very much the same thing Steve Jobs enforced on macOS and iOS, not allowing custom themes and other add-ons to change the UI experience in macOS or on the iPhone. He wanted to control the experience, and I believe GM's desire to do the same thing and make a buck on it at the same time. So there's that. Before we go too much further, we also have Ivan Marshall on our Facebook group was kind enough to also call me an idiot. he said, I think that Brian, like a lot of people, overestimated the importance of CarPlay and Android Auto. Those platforms are very important, but not more important than the vehicle itself. I say this as an Apple product lover, stockholder, iPhone owner, auto worker, and car lover. Wall Street is collaborating with GM and pushing this stupid idea, just as they are pushing the electric vehicle adoption when most customers intentionally don't buy electric vehicles. I don't want to be told what to do or what I can't do, but I've existed for decades with a mix of AM, FM, CD, Sirius, XM, or equivalent Apple Music, Bluetooth from my iPhone, navigation from the factory, and streaming from my iPhone. The biggest problem with the new dashboards is that they basically look like an iPad and formed it sideways on so many vehicles, and they are poorly integrated with distracting menus. Jeff is right. It's important, but not as important as everything else in totality, like redundant buttons or knobs that force you to look away from the road. All right. Where do we start?
We start with thank you for the comments.
Yes.
And feel free to accept Brian's apology. No, seriously, thank you for the comments, because it's always great to get feedback.
It is always good to get feedback, and in particular on I was very much curious about this because I do have very strong feelings on this, but at the same time I'm aware that I may be projecting that anyone else cares. To me, I don't like Neil's comparison to Apple controlling things from the standpoint of one of the things we're talking about is controlling our own data.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple is definitely control freakish. Steve Jobs definitely wanted to control the user experience, etc. But part of their focus is giving us control over our own data. Part of GM's focus here is essentially ensuring that we cannot control our own data. So I don't think it's an apple or an oranges to oranges comparison, or apples that which one are you supposed to use? I don't think it's an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah, it's an apples to GM's comparison.
And go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, no, you.
Nope, you.
No. You. I've been going on.
And that's this week's show.
You're not going to go, are you?
No, I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
So here's the thing for me. While I agree that GM can do whatever they please with their products,
of
because
course.
They're
Absolutely.
Making their products.
Absolutely.
It doesn't mean that I have to like what they're doing or choose to buy into what they're doing. And just to be clear, Neil, I don't think that you were implying that that we were being forced to buy into GM's products.
Neither do I. I don't think you're saying that.
I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay.
And the big problem for me with this is that it's about... It feels to me like it's about taking away the control. I'm basically parroting what you said at this point. So it's taking away the control of my data and exploiting that in a way that I'm not comfortable with.
First of all, I accept your adulation. Second of all, it is interesting now that we're actually digging a little bit deeper into that part. This is not an issue for me of like preferring Apple's interface for the things that CarPlay controls. It is very much about the data. It's about being able to use maps in the way that I want mm-hmm. to. And it's about being able to have my contact information stay on my phone.
Yeah, another aspect for me, and I'm with you on those things, is that this feels to me like we are now on the threshold and GM is wiggling its toes across the threshold of going down the path of basically nickel and diming us for subscriptions.
Yeah, very much so. 100%.
I am not cool with that. I do not want a subscription car.
No, I don't want subscription services, although I pay subscription services for Apple Music.
Well, okay, there's a difference there because that's a subscription that you can use
outside of my car too.
Yeah, you can use it in multiple ways and outside of your car. And it's also not a subscription where you are paying $5 a month to have the mute switch work. And that comparison for me, that's part of the path that GM wants to go down.
Yeah.
I think that basic functionality in the car is something that they want to start monetizing. Like BMW has done with seat warmers.
Right. Agreed. And I don't care for that. But I do think Ivan is correct. He was the person who commented on our Facebook group that he's correct that not everybody cares about this. I think there are probably a bunch of people that feel like me, but I think there are probably even more people who don't care. Could be wrong. I don't know.
Accept your apology.
I could be wrong. I don't.
No, I think that those of us that really care to a degree, we're in that echo chamber.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And the majority of people are outside of it. And I can't remember if I mentioned this last week, but I know a lot of people who have cars that have CarPlay and Android Auto, and they have no clue those features are in their car.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. And there are also people who, even if they do know or did know, they wouldn't care. Like, you know, they get in their car, they're you know, going to turn on the radio. Right. You know, they're not going to take a phone call, a hands-free phone call, because, you know, I don't know where this mythological unicorn is living. But, yeah, so I don't know. It's not a cut and dry issue. Everything that we presented on the last show, everything certainly that I presented, but I think I can actually include Jeff in that, was definitely like our opinions, not something that we're we're putting forth as a blanket right and wrong. I mean, admittedly, GM was wrong on this. But
look, okay, so picture me with the big crazy hair. Look, I'm not saying GM's wrong, but GM's wrong.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. All right. Thanks again for the feedback. If y'all have any thoughts, anyone else has any thoughts, I say y'all. If y'all other folk have some thoughts on that, go ahead and let us know. You can use that Facebook. You can use Mastodon and Post.News at Context Machine. Mm-hmm. And I'm Geek Tales. What are you?
And I'm Jay Gamut.
You're Jay Gamut. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. All right. Mm-hmm. So let's see here. Apple did that thing this week. Apple, like, if I were to put together a list of 50 things that I thought Apple might announce in the next 3 years, announcing a new savings account with an annual percentage rate that's like 10x what you can get anywhere else would not have been on that list. I mean, the first half of that wouldn't have been on the list, let alone the second half.
Mm-hmm. And yet here we are. Yeah.
So what's it called? Apple,
it's the, what is it? The Apple High Yield Savings Account. Is that what they're calling it?
Well, savings is capitalized by Apple. So mm-hmm. I think it's actually just savings. So yes. They do call it the high yield APY of its average percent yield of 4.15%. But that's not, none of that's capitalized. So I think it is simply savings.
That makes sense because, you know, they have other products like Pages and Numbers and Books
and Apple Pay. So and Apple
savings
Cash.
Is totally on brand.
Right. Apple Pay and Apple Cash too. And this is all tied to Apple Pay and Apple Cash. And they are offering the annual percentage rate yield of 4.15%. And can we start right away with how that compares to the market?
I think we should because that perspective, I think, can help people have a better understanding or appreciation for what this savings account is.
Well, so in that case, actually, let's start even earlier. Like mm-hmm. there was in times of high inflation, generally speaking, you can get some, you know, semi-reasonable terms because the risk is incredibly low on a savings account. And when when interest rates controlled by the Fed are low, you're not going to get very good interest rates on your savings account at all. And that's been the case for years, since the 2008 housing crisis, when interest rates got slashed, and they stayed slashed until the last year and a half when the Fed went on this aggressive plan to curb inflation by raising interest rates. But at the same time, interest rates on savings accounts have not really kept up. By the way, we are not financial advisors. Don't take anything that we're going to say as financial advice, because that would be a terrible idea.
Right. And I'll even take it a step farther. I have never actually played a financial advisor on stage.
Oh, huh. Interesting.
I know. I've played a lot of things on stage, but that's not one of them.
All right. So let's look at Citibank, where I am a client.
Mm-hmm. It's a popular bank.
It's a popular, huge, massive national bank. They offer to Citigold private clients who maintain a minimum combined average monthly balance of $1 million in eligible linked deposit, retirement, and investment accounts. Those folks can get a massive 0.35% APY on their savings account. 0.35%.
Holy crap.
That is less than a tenth of what Apple is offering, essentially, you know, everyone that has an Apple card.
Yeah.
All right. Next, Citigold account package. This would be for people who are maintaining that average monthly balance of $200,000, which is not that many people that can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those folks can earn 0.12%.
Wow.
If you're keeping
these are like 200,000 bucks values.
It's pointless value. Basically they're giving you a courtesy amount to keep your money safe. Cuz you know the thing about a savings account is that it is next to no risk. And I say next to no risk because the bank could always go under.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's not like you're investing your money in a stock where something can go wrong with the company and the stock can lose all of its value, or the economy can collapse or have a hiccup or whatever, and the entire stock market takes a dump.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So a savings account is one of the safest ways to try to earn anything on your money, but you're not going to get a big reward from it normally. Okay. So next we have people who maintain $30,000. Again, this is with Citibank. This is a Citi priority account package. Even that is a very small number of people that can keep an average monthly balance of $30,000 in their accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They'll get 0.1%. That's down from 0.12%. So, you know, a little bit less to next to nothing. And then everybody else, if you're just, you know, like a normal Joe living paycheck to paycheck and you somehow have a savings account with a few thousand dollars in it, you're going to get 0.05% interest.
Holy crap.
So this has been the case for a while. Now, another way to do... Ichabod's interested in this one.
I'm not surprised. I mean, the way you're presenting this, it's really clear and interesting. So, of course, Ichabod is just all ears.
All
and
mouth.
Paws. And mouth. And tail.
And yeah.
All dog. He's all dog. We all want to be all dog.
So, another way to do short-term savings. Thank you, buddy. Is
top men.
So, I'm sorry, folks. Another way to do short-term savings are certificates of deposit. This is money that you're locking up for a specific amount of time, and the bank is going to take that money and invest it or loan it out or do something with it. Okay? Usually for a fixed amount of time. Some certificates of deposit allow you to just roll them over. Perhaps with the interest that you've earned, you know, added to it once the end of the term comes. Certificates of deposit are also very low risk. You're not going to lose your money unless the bank goes under. And they also don't typically pay a high reward. But because you are locking those funds up for X amount of time that the bank can know, hey, I've got this money for 6 months, you know, a year, 18 months, 2 years, 5 years, whatever, you're going to get a better return than a savings account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now say that. 3-month CD from Citibank, 0.05%, same as a normal savings account. That stays for the same for 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. It's 6 months, you can jump up to a big, massive 1.1%. Remember, Apple is offering 4.15%.
Mm-hmm.
7 months, we're back down to 0.05. For whatever reason, by the way, they offer different rates for different packages. They do have currently, at this particular moment, three different periods with higher rates. There's an 18-month certificate of deposit for 4.05%. There's a 9-month certificate of deposit for 4.05 to 4.75%. And there's a 1-year certificate of deposit for 4.05%. I think all of those require some higher balances on them.
Mm-hmm.
But those are,
that would, you know, make sense.
Roughly compared. But then, you know, if you, once you get outside of those specific packages, most of them are basically anywhere between 0.05% and, like I'm seeing a 5-year one here for 2.5%. And the vast majority of them are small. Now, a certificate of deposit has a benefit that a lot of people don't ever think about or know is a thing. You can get a certificate of deposit and use that for collateral for a loan for that same amount. This is an excellent tool for people who want to build their credit. Right?
Okay. Okay. I didn't realize that. So that's cool.
So you take, let's say you can put together $2,000 or $5,000. You could go buy your CD for $2,000 or $5,000 for, say, 2 years. And then the bank would happily accept that as collateral for a $2,000 or $5,000 loan. And they're going to give you a really good rate because it's collateralized.
Mm-hmm.
And you make your payments on that loan. As long as you make your payments on time, at the end of the period, you're going to have the loan paid off, and then you get your CD back. You basically get your money back, and you paid a very small percentage to do this, and your credit score will reflect these loan payments that have been made on time.
So, okay, so here's an idea.
Yeah.
We'll just go with $2,000.
Sure.
So you have $2,000, you put it into a CD like that. Now you take out a $2,000 loan.
Yeah. Collateralized loan.
A collateralized loan.
Yeah.
Now, instead of just going and spending the $2,000, you put it into your Apple savings account where it's now earning 4.15% interest, and do your monthly payments for this loan from your savings account.
Sure.
So you're earning interest on the money you borrowed while you're earning interest on the CD.
But you're paying interest on the loan.
So you're cutting down on your overall cost because you're getting that extra 4.15%.
Correct. And you're getting the original interest on the CD.
Right.
So, like, let's say, like, this might actually be a money winner now that you're saying that. We are not financial advisors. We are not at offering financial advice. I want to be clear about that. If you took out an 18-month CD from Citibank and got your 4.05%,
mm-hmm.
and then use that to get your 18-month collateralized loan, and then put that money into Apple, you would actually be earning a net total of 8%, 8.2% on that money, and you're probably going to be paying less than that on your loan. Building your credit the whole time. So there, that would actually be a money maker.
Man, I love harebrained plans.
Yeah.
Especially when they come from people who are not qualified or trained in any way to offer financial advice.
Correct. Don't listen to us. Talk to someone who is, preferably someone who is paid to give you good advice.
Right.
Okay.
Not only paid, but qualified to give you good advice.
All right. So that's how Apple's product stands out against the rest of the energy industry. This is insane amounts of interest for Apple to be paying. And I do not understand why they are doing this, because Apple's own, in the money that Apple makes from investing its own money is very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
They have like more money than God. And they do invest that money, but it's all these very conservative, very, very safe investments. So why are they like I want to say, when we were still covering Apple on a daily basis, that Apple was earning less than 4% on its own money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have millions of dollars, let alone billions, let alone tens of billions, let alone sometimes hundreds of billions of dollars, you have access to investment opportunities that the rest of us folk don't have. So I don't understand why Apple's offering 4.15% on the savings account. I don't know why they're doing it.
I don't know how they're doing it, but I have a hypothesis on why it's happening.
Well, the how is easy. Apple has more money than God. Apple could do whatever the crap it wants.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Right? So like Apple doesn't even need to be making money on this to be able to afford to do it. But they're working with Goldman Sachs. So Goldman Sachs is theoretically involved in having this be a profitable venture.
Right. I cannot imagine Goldman Sachs saying, sure, we'll go into a money losing venture with you.
Right.
But we'll make it up in volume.
Okay. So why? What's your theory on this? And by the, he didn't tell me. He refused to tell me before we started recording. So I don't know what he's about to tell us.
All right. So here's my hypothesis. And I admit that on some level, it's kind of crazy, but I like it. So Apple is now offering a savings account with a stupid, crazy interest percentage rate, and it's super easy to set up through your Apple Card, and it just becomes like this other transparent part of your financial stuff through Apple. I think there's something much bigger happening here, and I hate to use Elon Musk as an example of what this is, but I'll do it because it's what he wants. So you know how Elon Musk wants to make the X app? So it's the everything app?
Sure. Whatever, but go ahead.
Right. Whatever. And now take that concept and look at what Apple is doing, not just with Apple Card, but with the all the services they're offering and the hardware they're offering, especially the iPhone. Apple isn't going for the everything app. They're going for the everything platform. And I think ultimately Apple wants to be your everything solution. And giving us a savings account is part of that strategy.
Well, certainly Apple wants to be a bigger player in the financial consumer market.
Yes, they do. And if you want to be the everything platform for your customers, then you need to be able to offer them the financial services they need as well.
True.
I accept your apology.
Yeah, you're not getting it on this one. I feel like but what I don't understand, I guess, is it's not so much why Apple is doing a savings account for consumers, which that actually does still stand as a question, but why are they paying this kind of interest rate? This 4.15% interest rate.
I don't have a good answer for that.
So like, I mean, what normies like you and me, and you know, to be fair, we're probably a little more privileged than a bunch of people, right? So 4.15 divided by 0.05, 83 times what most folks could get from a savings account from most banks.
Yeah.
83 times. Now, if you can get your $200,000, get that one, that sweet 1.2%.
Om nom nom.
Yep. And that's 3.45 times. 3.45. I don't understand. By the way, I don't think there's anything nefarious here. My confusion is just genuine confusion. Like, could they not have done this same product at 2% and then had people talking about how much more they're paying?
Yeah, they could have.
I remember, by the way, in the 80s when we had some really high interest rates for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in very high inflation, very high interest rates, and you could sometimes get, you know, 8 to 12% on your savings account and your CDs and stuff like that.
Which sounds awesome, but
it's a little better than 0.05%.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think that there was a time when we could get over 10% on our savings accounts.
Yes. And that still, by the way, that was still a loser on inflation at the time. Might have been in the late 70s. Might have been the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. Anyway, the point is that there was definitely a time when you could get some better returns on just, you know, simple savings products like what Apple is doing. And I don't know why they're doing it. It's interesting to me.
Yeah, it certainly changes competition. I did set mine up.
I'm sorry. I mean, I was talking right over you, dude.
No, it's all right. Yeah, I did set mine up. And I think we should do yours live on the show just so people get to experience it.
Yeah, because I've done no research on how to actually set it up.
Which is perfect.
Yeah, so I'm going to be your stand-in. I'm going to be your everyman stand-in. So I'm going to guess I go to wallet. Hey, Jeff, hold on. Before we do this.
Mm-hmm.
Before we do this. Let's talk about our sponsor, Factor.
Yes, please.
Right, so Factor does ready-to-eat, like prepared meals that get delivered right to your house. Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. They can help you fuel up fast with ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You'll save time, eat well, and tackle everything on your to-do list. Jeff, did you know that before I went to England, I was a Factor customer for a while?
You know, I remember you mentioning that. And I also remember you mentioning that, and I'm not kidding people, that you really enjoyed your meals.
Food was good.
Brent, you know what I really liked about Factor was that, first, it's fresh, it's not frozen. But for someone like me with a dairy allergy, they made it really easy for me to find stuff that I could eat that was safe for me.
So how did you end up doing it? For this sponsorship, they sent us a meal box for full disclosure. Right. So we both got to try it out. I was already a customer, but Jeff hadn't been. And we both got to try it out this way. So how did you handle your food allergy?
They just had me go to the website just like anyone else would do, and they showed the weekly menu and they have the preset options, but you can go and pick and choose what you want. And so I just went through the list of the menu for the week and looked at things that that didn't have dairy in them and looked like it would be something I would enjoy. And I'm like, okay, click that, boom, boom, boom. And I ended up with a bunch of meals that were really good and super easy to prepare and were safe for me.
Which is very important. And they do, I think every week they've got 34 different chef prepared, dietitian approved weekly options. There is always something new to try. So they constantly rotate new stuff in. They also do keto specific meals. They do vegan meals. They do vegetarian meals. They have things that you can add, like you can add extra portions. You can add, they have desserts that you can add. They have keto, as I recall, it's been a while since I looked, but they have keto friendly desserts that you can add too, in addition to their other dessert products. The weekly menu is pretty substantial, and you're probably going to find something that you want to eat in their meals. So I really like Factor as someone who has paid for the service. I certainly love the fact that they are sponsoring the show. And Jeff, check this out. You can go to factormeals.com/TCM50. That's for the Context Machine 50. And then use TCM code.
TCM50. Got it.
Right. You can use code TCM50. To get 50% off your first box.
So what was that? Use the code TCM50 at factormeals.com/TCM50 to get 50% off your first box.
Yep.
Awesome.
It is awesome. All right. Let's get back to my setup.
That seems like a reasonable place to go. Yep.
Okay. That's great. Yes, yes. Debit.
All right, so where are you now?
Well, I went to, and I still haven't looked for any instructions.
Just like most people. Just like me. Just like pretty much everyone else that I've talked to that has enabled their account.
So I'm looking at the wallet, let's call it the homepage.
Mm-hmm. Where you can see all of your cards.
Where I can see all of my cards, and I'm pressing the plus button.
That seems like a reasonable thing to do.
And
that's exactly where I started.
Okay. And I'm not, so I can add debit and credit cards, transit cards, driver's license, discover, previous cards. Not seeing anything about savings account.
Yep. I'm with you. I didn't see anything about a savings account either.
Okay. Oh, so what if I go to Apple Cash?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Apple Cash family. No, I'm not doing that. Tips to use Apple Cash securely. Okay, great. Don't need that. Nope, don't see anything. Wait, there's three dots. Add money. Nope.
Okay. So you're making me feel better about this whole process.
Okay, so now I'm going to try the Apple Card.
Okay.
Schedule payments, monthly installments, daily cash, card details, notifications. Not there. Weekly activity. Nope. Okay. Don't know what to do.
Exactly. This is the most stupid, obtuse thing. And I ended up.
Is this why you wanted me to do this live on the show?
Yes. This is exactly why I wanted you to do this, so that people could see that even though it's actually really easy to set up when you know where to go, it's incredibly stupid how opaque and obtuse it is to get to that place. And the way it works is either you go in and find the KB article explaining how to do it.
Sure.
You have a friend who tells you how.
Which is my preferred method.
Right, which is, let's be honest, why else do we have this show?
Yeah, fair enough.
Or, you know, you get lucky and just find it.
Okay, well, tell us where to go. People are waiting.
Okay, so here's what you want to do. You are on the right path now. So when you're in the wallet app, you tap on your Apple Card.
Yeah, there, yeah.
And now tap the three dots in the upper left-hand corner.
I did that. Okay, mm-hmm. There again.
Now tap daily cash.
Huh.
And from daily cash, you can now activate your savings account.
That's a ridiculous path.
It's an absolute ridiculous path. But once you're here, after going through an absolutely ridiculous path, it's basically tap a button.
Right. And they want my full social security number, which, to be fair, they already have because I have an Apple Card.
Mm-hmm.
Savings account terms and conditions. Yep. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. I'm going to agree to that. Sure. Almost there. Have you been notified that you're subject to backup withholding by the IRS? No. by confirming.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna confirm and open. Opening account.
And now you get the little spinny propeller thing for a little bit. And then it says, okay, your account's set. And then it will automatically move whatever you have in your daily cash.
All right. I got my email notification and the notification in app. And I'm immediately asked if I want to transfer what little I have. Because normally what I use Apple Cash for, my cash back, I normally use that in my payments.
Same, because it's just there and it's easy to do.
Right. It's just there and it's easy to do. But what you can do is choose to transfer that to your new savings account. And once you do that, all of your Apple Cash is going to go there.
Yep.
Right? And did I get that correct?
Yep. And I currently have
interest is compounded daily and paid at the end of the month. Oh, so it's compounded daily and paid at the end of the month. But that is way better than being compounded monthly.
Mm-hmm.
That is, even though it's only paid monthly, it's compounded daily. That is, makes this even better.
Yeah.
So because I have also,
you can move money from other accounts into this savings account. It's like if you have money sitting in a typical savings account where you're basically not earning any interest on it, you can move a bunch of that into your Apple savings.
And we're still not offering financial advice.
Right. We're still not offering financial advice. Anyhow, the point is you can move money from other accounts into this savings account. It's not limited to having money that's just coming from your daily cash from Apple Card charges.
And if you've already added a bank account to Apple Pay Cash, is it Apple Cash or Apple Pay Cash? I always forget.
I think it's Apple Cash.
Daily cash.
Actually, I'm looking at the interface right now and under daily cash, and it lists Apple Cash. So yes, it's
Apple. All right. So if you have a bank account already tied to Apple Cash, you can just instantly transfer money from there.
When you say instantly, that's accurate.
Yeah. The Apple gives you instant credit, even though they haven't gotten the money. Just like is the case for making a payment on your card. You get instant credit, even though it's going to take Apple a couple of days to actually get that money from your bank. All right.
What Apple's doing is it's so simple. Once you know the stupid place to go find it.
I mean, I would have eventually found it. Right. I would have actually gone to look for that knowledge base article and then gone, okay. All right. But anyway, so once you find it, it's great. Easy to do that APY. By the way, I should add that there are still plenty of better ways to earn more interest than 4.15%. Some of those ways, many of those ways are going to come with substantially more risk than a savings account. Talk to a financial advisor for that. But my point here is that this product is amazing for a savings account, but savings account have long been the worst way to try to grow your money. It's a fine way to preserve your money, but not a good way to grow your money. Apple's product is a better way of growing your money and still keeping it safe, but there are all kinds of investments that are going to pay more than that on average, but they come with risk.
And your financial advisor can help you decide what's right for you.
Yeah, and I strongly recommend that people get some kind of financial advisor, even if you don't think you have very much money, like start putting your money to work. Whatever, what little you have, put it to work.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah. So there. All right. Interesting. I am hoping we get more color. I'm assuming, what is this, April? Do we have, when's Apple's next Apple quarterly conference called? A little sausage making right here. May 4th.
Oh,
May 4th. So there is zero chance that the Wall Street analysts won't be asking Apple about this.
It'll be interesting to hear what Apple says.
It will be interesting to hear the ways in which Apple says everything while saying nothing.
Yes. Yeah. I like how you put that.
By the way, there is another reason why like banks offer interest on savings accounts, because they want to be able to use your money to loan to other people at higher rates, right? That's the whole point of a bank. You keep your mm-hmm. money with them, and they turn around and they put it to work for themselves. And sometimes they will pay you a little something, something in the form of interest rates on your savings accounts. Right? Are you with me mm-hmm. here so far?
Yep, I'm with you.
And what they're doing is they're putting it to work, and they, like, that's their whole raison d'etre. Apple's raison d'etre is not to put money to work. Like I said, for their own money, they have historically earned very low returns because they are intensely conservative. And they talk about this. They've talked about this on many conference calls. We're very, you know, very conservative. Our purpose is to, you know, preserve wealth and preserve our wealth and, you know, grow it. They're not out there making these big bets. Apple's big bets come in the form of the companies they buy and the companies that they invest in, but not in terms of, like, you know, gambling it up on the stock market.
Right.
So, yeah. Apple also doesn't need our money for its business. They don't need our money for their their daily cash flow. They have, like, I think their goal is to get down to $150 billion. Does that ring a bell?
That rings a bell. I'm not sure how accurate it is, but it's accurate enough for me.
Apple had so much money for a while that they got to the point where they, even though they were increasing stock buybacks and the dividend that they were paying, they were still accumulating more than they could give to shareholders directly, or more than they were choosing to give to shareholders directly. And they said that they were trying, but that their goal was to get to a point where they were essentially cash neutral. In other words, they would reach this, could be 130 FLC. So they currently have, that's 2019.
Can you imagine having the problem of, we make so much money that we can't actually get ourselves to a cash neutral place? We can't spend enough to be cash neutral.
Yeah. excuse me. Yes. I cannot imagine that. It's crazy. And I don't remember the specific amount. I thought it was 150, but I could be conflating that with something else. But so their goal was basically, you know, to keep the money coming in, keep the money going out. And they were at that point would be no longer adding to their cash holdings, but neither would they be subtracting from their cash holdings. It would just be like this sort of, you know, quarter to quarter net, roughly even amount that they were holding. So that's been Apple's goal for a stated goal, I might add, for a while. Apple doesn't need our money for its cash flow.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It feels to me, as someone who is not a financial advisor and has never played one on stage, that this interest rate is a powerful tool for drawing people in, and it's a competitive thing.
Yeah, I guess it's, I don't know. It's interesting. Can't wait to find out more. Can't wait to see what comes out of this, and whatnot. So, right there, we were 45 minutes into, or actually, I think 48 minutes into our 30-minute show.
Awesome. So, it was a streamlined show today.
It was a streamlined show today. So, let me do this and tell you that is this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, you can write us over at contextmachine.io. You can reach us on Post and Mastodon at Context Machine. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, the bass by Dr. Boom, recorded just for the show. And as a reminder, Factor was our sponsor this week. You can head to factormeals.com/TCM50 and use code TCM50 to get 50% off your first box.
Om nom nom.
Om nom nom nom. That's code TCM50 at factormeals.com/TCM50 to get 50% off your first box. We appreciate them sponsoring us.
Yes, we do.
All right, Jeff, I guess I have the other thing. This, that thing. Top man. Good stuff. Gonna get this down.